No.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the literary world. Robert Nemechek has just released a spectacular book, Mr. Locator. Robert spent a good deal of his working life in the business of locating people and things. The people were generally missing heirs to estates, and the things included aeroplanes. I mean, how anyone can actually lose an aeroplane is beyond me, but Robert was the man that found it. Robert is a very spry 89-year-old man. His hearing is failing just a little bit, which makes it difficult for him on the telephone. However, I do have Twyla Nemechek on the line. His wife is joining us today. Twyla, welcome.
Welcome, Simon. Thank you.
Maybe we could start with a little biographical information. Robert seems to have led a pretty interesting life. Can you tell me a little bit about him?
Well, he was born back in the Midwest, in Berwyn, Illinois, which is a suburb close to Cicero, where Al Capone hung out. And he grew up and went to school there. And that was kind of his old stomping grounds. And Chicago being the big city it was, he learned it very well, the town and, you know, the kind of things that go on there.
Yes, I've heard a lot about Chicago. I actually work with a couple of ex-mobsters, believe it or not. And I've heard very interesting things about Chicago. So, well, how did Robert get into the business of finding people?
Well, he had an office down on State Street, and he was selling real estate. And one day, a woman walked into his office and asked him if she had a piece of land in Chicago that she wanted to buy, and nobody could tell her who owned it. And she came into the real estate office and said, could you find the owners of this missing lot? You're a real estate man. Well, and he said, yes, I can. And so he went out and started looking for it and found the owners, found who actually owned the property. And she came back in the office and said to him, well, you're really a locator, aren't you? And that's how he got the name Mr. Locator.
And a little bit about yourself. I know we were talking on the phone. I understand that you're a registered nurse by trade.
Yes. I work in an ICU.
Wow, that must be a pretty intense area to work in.
Yes, it is. That's where the people are really, really the sickest. But we tend to make them, almost all of them, better. So that's the perks.
That's the perks. I like that. You know, it's always good to have a positive spin on things.
As
I understand it, you helped Robert in the writing of Mr. Locator.
Yes. What I did was, on his cases, on several of his cases, I do the research work when he gets a case. A lot of it is sometimes in order to find these people, you have to go through old records, old books, old magazines, leftover letters. Sometimes that's all you start out with is a name, and somebody will say, well, I knew them. Or the public defender will hand you a box full of personal things and say, this is all that I know about this man. And I'm the person that sits down and goes through the box and reads all the stuff and see if I can come up with an envelope, a name, a person, anything.
Wow. Actually, it sounds a bit like myself and my wife. You know, I'm the person that says to Jan, here's the bear. You go find it.
Mm-hmm.
a personal question, if you will. How many years have you and Robert been together?
27.
27 years. That's quite a long time. Wow.
Yes.
I have to admit that the book surprised me. I read the press release, I think it was, and I was sort of expecting a biography, but it is far from that. It's almost a series of Agatha Christie's whodunits. You know, was that a conscious decision or just something that evolved in the writing process?
Well, we wanted it to not, we didn't want it to be one of these where people start out from the beginning and tell you their whole life story. I was born, I was raised here, I went to school here, and then, because I felt like that would be too draggy, so we just decided to just hit it with the stories. Start with a bang, Bob says.
Oh, and bang is a very good word. I mean, I picked the book up, and my favorite place to read is actually on the front porch. I love natural daylight, and oh, but by I think page one or page two, I was hooked. In fact, I came inside about 30 minutes later, and I said to my wife, oh, I found a great, great, great book. I mean, the stories are just wonderful.
Well, we think they are, too, and the fact that they're true stories, they're not fiction, I think that really makes the reader sit up and think that strange people, that strange things really do happen to people. Things that are stranger than life.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, this is one of those fact is stranger than fiction books. In fact, over the past 18 months or so, my wife and I have become very good friends with a nationally known bounty hunter. No, it's not dog. I don't like dog. And anyway, I was talking to my friend recently about tracing missing people. And today's weapons include what they call the digital footprint. You know, if you know where to look, you can locate. It could be something as simple as a discount card at your local supermarket. You know, all of this data is available if you know where to go.
Right.
Right. Robert didn't have that ability. There was no internet in the in the 1960s. Yet he was hugely successful in his quests. How did he do it?
Well, I have to say that this man, once he decides that he's going to do something, never wavers from the quest that he set in front of him. And his idea was always, everybody leaves something. And if you look you will be able to find it. Like, just going, like, if you remember the story about the lady with the coupons, the AOL city controller.
Oh, yes.
He knew the woman had lived there. The man had lived there in the house for 18 years, and the woman never talked about anything, but he sat down and just talked to her and got her to remember. And that one little word she said that he once mentioned he went to a hillside high school was the key. And sometimes listening to people know a lot of things about someone that they don't really think that they know. But it's digging out that little information, and that's what he was very good at.
Oh, and I think it's not so much a science, it's an art.
Yes, he's very good with people, and when you're very good at listening to people, they naturally tell you things. And I think that was once he got a case, he never approached it from just one angle. He looked at it and worked at it from every possible angle. He had to go to the town and stay a week in the town and find the oldest person that ever lived there and just talk with them to see if they remembered anything. That's what he did.
In your opinion, what would be the strangest case that Robert ever took on? And it doesn't have to be one out of the book.
I think the strangest one he ever took on was the one in Mississippi I mentioned to you yesterday, where it was a black family, and there were over 200 heirs, and they had this small farm, and he ended up finding all the heirs and had to actually move a cemetery in order to settle the estate.
Okay, I've got to ask about this. All right, move a cemetery. Tell me more.
Well, where the farm was that these people owned, an electric company wanted to buy that farm and put an electric company on it. But they couldn't find out who owned the land. So Bob found the people who owned this land, and there was 22, like I said, over 200 people. And it was a black family, and this man had like 80 acres in Biloxi. You have to find every heir, but on that piece of land, there was a cemetery, an old cemetery. And before he could sell the land to the electric company, and before they were allowed to build, according to state law in Mississippi, you couldn't build on top of a cemetery. So he had to hire couple of people, and they had to go and have coffins made, and they had to go to where each grave was, and there was a very elderly Negro woman involved, and she said, well, Uncle Joe's buried over here under this tree, and Uncle so-and-so is buried here, and he had to dig up a part of each of the body and move them, buy a piece of land in another cemetery and actually move each one of these graves before the company, before it was a legal deal.
Wow.
I always thought that was the most interesting case. I tell him to write that one up next.
Right. Oh, I think you could probably create a book all on its own just on that story.
And then another interesting case I've always told him about, he worked on the book The Lincoln Conspiracy. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
He did the research work on the Lincoln Conspiracy, on who really killed Abraham Lincoln. And
wow.
he found the missing 16 pages of the diary, of Stanton's diary, that were missing.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yes. And, you know, there is that theory that John Wilkes Booth is the man who died in the barn, is the man who shot Abraham Lincoln. But John Wilkes Booth is not the man who died in the barn.
Oh.
My husband proved that theory.
Wow. I am more than impressed.
So if you ever see the movie The Lincoln Conspiracy, it's on YouTube, and you can get a copy of it. He did, you'll see his name in there for all the research and credit. I don't
really
know if you're familiar with that. Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm going to be looking that up.
Yes, it's very interesting.
Where can people buy copies of Mr. Locator?
Well, they can buy copies of Mr. Locator on Amazon.com, and they can buy them directly from us. We have a website where they can buy them from us, and Bob will sign them.
Whereabouts is the website?
It's buymrlocator.com. It's on the web.
No, let's try that again. Maybe it was my fault for interrupting. The web address is?
buymrlocatorbook.com.
Buy as in B-U-Y?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So, folks, if you want a really, really good read, point your browser to B-U-Y, Mr. as in M-R, locator.com. This is a book that you absolutely will enjoy reading. I rather like the, and I have to admit, slightly romantic notion of tracking down missing heirs. Did Robert hand the baton to someone else after he retired?
Well, I've been working a little bit on it, and also his oldest daughter, Donna Wright. She is in Colorado, and she does, it's called Wright Research. But you know, now it's not the same way to do it as the way he did it. It's anyone can research heirs now with the computers and that. It's not the same type of business
right, that
he did.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Robert used up a lot of shoe leather in the years he was doing it. Yeah, and that. In some ways is part of the joy of the stories in the book. You know, he would head off to some town and just basically ask questions. You know, talk to the librarian, talk to anyone. What sort of reader feedback are you getting on the book?
Well, everyone seems to really like it. I mean, I have people come up to me. In fact, a man came up to us the other day in the store and said, "You're Mr. Locator. I read your book. It is really good." And people like the idea of it being a true story, and yet it sounds almost like fiction. People seem to like that. And people seem to like the idea that it's a book that their kids and everyone can read because there's no bad language or anything like that in it. Several of my friends are reading it like with their children.
Really?
So I think that give it an advantage, you know, like an espionage story.
I know that Robert is with you and is listening in. So maybe you could holler at him and here's the question. I want to know why he waited so long to put pen to paper. I mean, his stories are glorious. He should have published years ago.
Well, I can tell you, he was always too busy doing other things. He was busy flying airplanes because he's a pilot also. He was a scuba diver, so he was always busy doing that. And then there was always the next case. So until he got to this age and finally gave up flying, he never really had the time to just sit down and write.
How long did it actually take to put the book together? You know, was it a quick project or something that took several years?
I would say from the time he really started to write, from the time he really started thinking about it, until I actually said, we're going to do this, it was probably 5 years, because he would quit and stop and put it away for a year and say, nobody will ever read this. It's just, and then he'd start on it again. But then when we really did start on it, it took only about a year. When we really decided, I decided, you're really going to do this. People should know this. It only took a year. And now with his next one, I'm looking for another publisher.
And I might well be able to assist there, but I'm going to come to that in a moment. Mr. Locato, I think, is a publish on demand publisher.
Yes.
Did you have a good time with that? Was it easy to use?
Yes. I mean, I thought it was, and the idea was we were going to get this book published, and we just got it all together and then finally just said, this is how we're going to do it. And yes, it was, once we really got down to where we knew we were publishing, we were going to do this, this is going to be a good book, a book people are going to like and read, and then we just went ahead with it.
You and I were talking yesterday, I think it was, and you mentioned that there is indeed another book in the works. What can you tell us about it?
Well, this one is going to be different. He's working on one about other cases also, but this one, the next one that he's writing is, he ran a Japanese prisoner of war camp on the island of Leyte for 18 months during World War II. And I think people are interested in what happened with the World War II veterans and what they did. And I feel like this is something that people should know about, and that would be very interesting. And how do you take care of that many people on an island with nothing?
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago that you are looking for a publisher, and I may be able to assist Bob in that quest. I know a publisher that specializes in what he calls living history. He will only publish books that are factual, historical, and have never been done before. And the idea of a memoir about running a Japanese prisoner of war camp, I think is just really, really appealing.
Oh, good. I think so too. I think that would be really interesting to this generation, these generations, and that have come since the war, that really don't understand what the men in World War II went through.
Right. I mean, how far through the manuscript are you on that book?
About three chapters. It's
okay.
Not going to be a real thick book, but it's going to be substantive.
I will. I'll contact my friend, and I'm sure that you'll be hearing from him. He is a traditional publisher, and I know that he'll want a sample chapter. But it really does sound like the kind of material that he works with.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Now, Simon, I do want to let you know that we are moving from California to the Midwest.
Oh, no. Why would anyone leave California?
Well, because all of our family live in the Midwest, so we're moving back there. So we're only going to be California residents for a couple of more weeks. But, you know, when Bob grew up in the Midwest, so Mr. Locator's big in the Midwest. That's where he grew up and solved most of his cases. So we're just going to carry on with it from there.
Are you moving back to the general Chicago area?
Actually, we're moving to North Dakota, to Bismarck.
Oh, I hear Bismarck gets cold in the winter.
Yes, it does, but it keeps you inside and writing by the fireplace.
Oh, that's mean. I want you to tell Robert that he needs to come out of retirement. My wife and I, when we're not doing reviews, we're actually journalists, and we cover missing persons cases, and we could really use his help on a couple of cases that we're working on right now.
All right, I will tell him that. Might be able to give you a hint.
Right. I think he's just the man for the job.
Yes.
Alas, our time is just about up, but I do want to thank you, and please convey my thanks to Bob. This is a wonderful book, and everyone needs to read Mr. Locator. I'm also going to be sending you an email with some questions for Bob, and somehow I'm going to mix all of this up in, you know, between the audio and the text into some sort of interview. Twyla, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much, Simon. God bless.
And
bye.
have a safe move to
yes.
Bismarck.
And we'll keep in touch.
You bet. Okay, talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.